Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Amen. Alrighty. Let us turn to Luke, the book of Luke.
You know what?
Uh-huh.
Luke did? He used the force.
Yesterday was the fourth.
He also chose wisely.
He chose what?
Chose wisely.
Correct. That Harrison Ford also did that in choosing the cup, proper cup. So, I mean, if we're comparing.
No, or Luke.
Luke, I know.
I don't think there's a Gospel of Han anywhere. Well, maybe.
There might be.
Sorry I interrupted. Let's just go on.
I might write the Gospel according to the Wookiee, but I'm kind of meditating on. Yesterday I heard the California Assembly designated that day as a Star Wars day from now on. It's weird because they said it's the fourth, and you know we say May the fourth be with you. Truly, I mean, you know, I'm not joking. I said, wow, that's something.
You better get to that message because I'm starting to chase a lot of rabbits right here.
We come back, though we cannot herd. Rabbits cannot be herded, can they?
Apparently not.
The thing is, you've heard me say often, and I love the Christmas season. And we say we wallow in Christmas, but Christmas, and I would not take away one bit from our joy of celebrating Christmas. But the most profound change and transformation is we must give total credit to the events of Easter.
Yeah.
The days before and then after. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, and resurrection that changed the history of every family, every human being.
Thank you,
and in fact, it gave hope to the whole world, that it was a global event, and it went, I believe, to the galaxies. It doesn't matter where people are. People are talking about colonizing Mars, whatever, wherever it, even in Mars, every knee bows,
Amen.
Every tongue confesses, Jesus is Lord. So we're going to take, I wanted us to take a few days to keep focus on the great events of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That it should not be for me. I mean, of course, I'm so glad we can say on Easter, He is risen.
He is risen.
And people around the world do so, state He is risen. But we want to focus on some of those events around that for a little bit and give it, it should have full credit. But anyway, this is the experience we call, and it's only in the book of Luke, by the way, this incident. It's not mentioned in any other of the Gospels. It's here in Luke. It says in verse 13, now this is the road to Emmaus.
Chapter 24,
verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. This is the day in the early in the morning Jesus had been risen. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained. Remember that it's not that they couldn't see properly, but it was the Lord himself who kind of restrained, it says, their eyes so that they could not really properly discern who was walking with them, so that they did not know him as Jesus came alongside. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Here are two guys walking, and then suddenly the third man joins them, and they don't know. How would you like to be walking now, and then suddenly Jesus is there walking with you? Hi, guys. What's happening? So beautiful. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk? And I said, then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happen there in these days? And he said to them, what things? It really is a funny thing.
It really is.
He's the main star. He's the main person who has gone through all of it.
What things?
What things? I believe I hope in eternity, I mean, all of us will get an invitation to sit at the table with Jesus sometimes. I'm going to say to him, what things, Lord? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day. Say third day.
Third day.
Since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Say glory.
Glory.
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. Now remember, as far as they're concerned, here is a stranger walking with them. And Jesus was going to go ahead, or pretended to. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far apart. And he went in to stay with them. Here's just a little bit footnote. Be nice to strangers. Be hospitable. It might be Jesus. It might be an angel. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Just when they're, it's Jesus, poof, gone. Well,
I can see Amy Johnson in this event, just totally, and he disappears. Oh, Lord, you are
Why
the best.
Didn't you tell me? Sheesh. It's great.
For years, I would tease Amy because she was, during her nursing degree and stuff, she was not able to live here in town. And she was absolutely terrified that some big, major visitation was going to happen on a day she wasn't able to be here. So every few months after church, I would send her a message that says, oh, it happened. Oh. But now she's here, so.
And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road?
Come on.
While he opened the scriptures to us. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. Mm. Remember, they were going away from Jerusalem at the beginning of this story. And now, as their eyes are open, they rose up that very hour, turned back. The direction has changed.
Yeah.
the beginning of the story, they're walking away from Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And take note, in a few days, the Holy Ghost is going to come and fill them with such glory. And if they had walked away, they would have missed all the visitation. This, as they're able to see, they immediately change their direction. And they return to Jerusalem. Say, return to Jerusalem. Amen. And found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Say, the Lord is risen indeed.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Amen.
Can you imagine the atmosphere as now they're starting together, the eyewitnesses, and then a couple more come that have just seen him. Imagine the atmosphere, because they had all seen him be crucified. They all knew that he was in the tomb. His body was in the tomb. And now this community of disciples, of people who had walked with one another and had walked with them, now were beginning to gather in this certain place, many of them actual eyewitnesses of Jesus alive. The atmosphere would have been absolutely charged with excitement and wonder and, you know, oh. Sorry, verse 35.
No, that's great. The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road. Now he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And then it goes on. And now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, howdy, or according to Jerusalem's custom, peace to you. We'll focus more on the Emmaus road.
Yeah, but verse 37 is too much fun.
Okay, but they were terrified and frightened when he said, shalom, peace to you. And the last thing they had was peace. Because it was really, they were humans. I mean, and they saw the Lord get so horribly, whipped and crucified. And they saw him die on the cross. And here he is in their midst. But they were terrified and frightened. And suppose they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do you doubts arise in your hearts, as if it's a normal event to discuss it? Behold, my hands
yes.
and my feet, that is I myself.
Yes.
Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones,
wow.
as you see
wow.
I have.
Wow.
Now, there is an event. I mean, just so many different questions and beautiful things in this is that when Mary sees him and she's about to run, she's so excited and give him a big hug and whatever, and just kiss him and whatever, because he was so awesome. And he said, don't touch me right now. Because he was about to present, in a way, as a high priest, take his blood and present before the heavenly holy of holies. So that blood, the effect of it was released for eternal ages, the glory of the blood of Jesus. But he had to finish that assignment. It was not complete yet. But then he returns. Now he says, touch me, handle, look. And forever, now in eternity, as we see Jesus, we will see always the nail prints in his hands and his feet that remember there for you, that he died for us individually. And part of it is this event that so blesses me, that we are, on one hand, on Easter, we declare he is risen, and it's affecting every family on earth, and we see a cosmic Christ for every family, every nation, every tribe, every language. But here, it's a particular story about two particular men, and I'm touched. Because the Lord is not only thinking of the cosmic event that had happened, that he himself was the center character to this drama. But he's thinking of these two guys who are walking away from Jerusalem. And for me, all of that, this is where the commissioning in the glory was going to happen. This is where there was going to be a sound of a mighty rushing wind. They were all going to be filled. And if they had not gone back, they would have missed the event. But they were walking away because of sadness. Depression, discouragement, whatever. I don't know. All those words start with D. Do you notice that? I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I'm desperate. I'm whatever. We should cancel out the letter D. Huh? Yes.
Deliverance starts with D.
Oy, that's good news.
Delirium starts
Delirious,
with D.
Delirious, that's right.
In a good way.
Delusion also, it can be.
That's true.
That's many, many congressmen. That's the word, yes. Delusion. You see them talking, you say deluded. Anyway, but that's...
The reality that has gripped my imagery and my thinking and my recognition and reflection on the Lord in this last couple of years has been his body. And the fact that I think that subconsciously, you know, we speak of Jesus sitting on the throne and all of those things, but I think subconsciously somehow the actual image that I had was just sort of this, you know, ethereal, you know, like big, I really don't know. But the embodiment of Jesus as the Lord of Lords, as God Almighty, the embodiment of him as a man with the power of an indestructible life now, and that he, in a form like us, is sitting on the throne over the heavens, one like us. This is stunning. This is absolutely stunning. And so here he is in that body, right in their midst. And of course, the last time they saw him, he was unrecognizable from all of the torture and the beatings and everything, the loss of blood, all of those things. And now suddenly, here is this man in a body with flesh and bones, walking with them, eating, talking, walking through walls, you know, but in a body. And it's him. No wonder they didn't recognize him, because they had just seen him, not well. Yeah, covered in blood and, you know, completely unrecognizable from the beatings and stuff. But then the reality that he himself, this man, the Son of Man, the last Adam, is sitting, has taken his seat on the throne. And we have a direct personal relationship with him by the Spirit, no distance now, but also will be with him in his throne. It's stunning. It's stunning. We possess the power of an indestructible life because one like us, that God
absolutely,
in his majesty
absolutely,
has made himself like us, if you would, I guess. He made us like him and then made himself like us or something. But it's a man.
The other aspect that is so, I mean, there are several things that stand out in this story. And I'm so glad that Luke included this story, because a lot of us have been, in a sense, all of us, some way or the other, have been on an Emmaus journey. One time or the other in your life, you're walking and you're saying, Lord, are you around? I feel alone. And that's what, it's that kind of thinking that was enveloped these two guys. They're good guys, but they are human, and in a way they take over the emotions, the negative emotions, flood them, and they take over. And that's part of the lesson here, that Jesus set aside this time to let them know, hey, guys, don't let this overwhelm you. In fact, it's not true. What you are thinking we are defeated, our hopes have been shattered, all of that. That's not the true picture. I am alive. I'm right here walking with you. But for all of us who have gone on that journey where we have had the Emmaus experience, I feel discouraged. I feel all alone. God, are you here with us? And grief and hurt can take over. This is where what I feel like I can see here. The hopes have been dashed. They don't know what to make about all this. They would quote, this is wild talk. The tomb is empty. He is risen. And so they are at a place, they need revelation. Because they are analyzing in a very human way. And they were alive. And then, this is not a true picture. Often we go through something and it's not the true picture. You feel all alone. And yet, it's not true. And I remember way back, it was not Bonnie and I were together, but we were so many years ago, but we were in the intensive care section of a children's hospital in Miami, Florida. And our first son was where he was screaming in agony. He had come out of a six-hour surgery. And it looked so dark. And it was, I mean, it was like he was in the next few hours that were probably going to come and tell us that he had died. And we felt alone, but unknown to us, Jesus was there all the way. And then, besides, he told, in a sense, I would say, okay, excuse me, while you are kind of grieving here, I need to go into the main, the section where Ben is and heal him completely, okay? I'm leaving here for a few seconds to totally resurrect his dying kidneys. And the glory appeared and the golden light just woof came and healed our son. So we were not alone. We did not know that one of the major healings that we would ever experience in our lives was about to explode. And so we were not. So when you feel alone, you feel defeated, you feel like something, know that Jesus is right by your side. He is not far away. And know that you have hope because Jesus is alive. He is risen and he is active. He's not far away. I mean, that was part of the thing I see in Gethsemane is he is considering in his heart each person who follows him and loves him. Hey, this guy are getting defeated. And then they are beginning to walk away from their destiny and what I want to do. So when people, that's part of some of the truth that I would tell you, even today, when you see people kind of get defeated, discouraged, or listen to lies where they are walking away from their destiny, walking away from fellowship, and themselves cutting themselves off because of disappointment or discouragement, you want to say, hey, listen, Jesus is right there, and I am believing for a miracle right now, and there is a turnaround for you. So don't allow yourself to get defeated and discouraged and separated. Then this is, I mean, the story here today is tell you, you are not alone. Say, I'm not alone.
Not alone.
So
he goes right, it's right there, and it would be a good idea for all of us to re-immerse ourselves in these events that and enter in again with those disciples to this. And it says, you know, while they were in joy and marveling, he said, do you have anything to eat? It wasn't because he was hungry. He was showing them, it's true. Here I am. It's me. I have a body. I'm indestructible. Everything, the entire history of Israel revealed in the scriptures, all of the prophets, everything there, it's true. And you see, they would have been, these people would have been their whole nation was looking to the great fulfillment, the deliverance of Israel over the, from the power of their enemies through the coming of their Messiah. And John the Baptist and then the disciples of Jesus, this was a national thing that was happening because the man had appeared that was the entire promise down through Israel's thousands of years of history that had been talked about three times a year and in between every family. And suddenly, he was actually in their midst. Their expectations were on him taking over the throne and throwing out the Romans and all of that then. And then they see him crucified. And the national hope and everything God had promised suddenly, boom. It would have been, this is a weak analogy, but I remember as a child in our nation when such hope was put on President John Kennedy. Young, charismatic, very innovative, and there was a real rise. There was a whole national atmosphere of hope and vision for the nation and all of this stuff. And then suddenly he was assassinated. Well, this would have been for the whole nation and obviously these disciples in that context. Huge in every way. And then he says to them, I told you all about this. This is the way it had to be. It's got to be. And here's the thing. Like I told you before, it's better for me to go away because when I go, the Father will send the Spirit. And he says it right there. Stay here until you be clothed with power. Say clothed with power. And that's what we've been speaking of the anointing. It's the real act. The filling, infilling of the Holy Spirit on, that began on the day of Pentecost. It's the real act of what was pictured in the tabernacle and in the temple of taking that special mixture of the anointing oil and anointing the Levites, anointing the priests. And this event, being clothed with power from on high, the event of Pentecost, was the anointing of a kingdom of priests to advance in the earth with this good news. That one like us has overcome, and through him we have overcome.
One of the other truths that is exemplary for us, and it's important in a sense, it's a learning item, but it's a gentle rebuke. Because Jesus himself now, this is Jesus, the resurrected Savior, is telling them, and he says, oh, foolish ones, in a very affectionate way. And this is, if you watch NCIS, this Jethro slapping his assistant on the head saying, think straight. And he says, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, this is a lesson for us, that your primary reading, our primary reading of events and analysis in our lives, personal lives, in our corporate lives, in our national lives, that we must always be in tune with scriptures. Yes. Scriptures are our highest guide. Doesn't matter what your emotions say. The emotions, this is the word of God. And so the Lord says, here it is in Scripture. And it's possible he would have gone down from Genesis where God is putting a curse on the serpent saying, I'll put hostility between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. So from Genesis onwards, he's pointing out, so I'm just kind of conjecturing, these are some of the Scriptures he could have quoted. And then from Deuteronomy 18:15, which says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. Wow. Moses' words. You must listen to him. This is the greater prophet. And from there, Isaiah 7:14, where God says, therefore, say therefore.
Therefore.
And I remember Derek Prince always says, When there is a therefore, find out what's there, it's why it is therefore. And Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive in Isaiah 7:14. The virgin shall conceive and have a son and name him Emmanuel.
Meaning God with us.
Yes. And then Isaiah 53, verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like one people turned away from. He was despised and we did not value him. Isaiah 53, 7 again says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep silent before his shearers, he did not open his mouth. Or Zechariah 12:10, then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the house of David and the residents of Jerusalem. They will look at me whom they pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly for him as one weeps for a firstborn. These were scriptures available to them. So here he goes down the line. These are the scriptures that said, talked about me, and you will find me in the scriptures. And that's a principle for us, that the main guide for us is always the Word of God. All flesh, Isaiah says, is as grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
The Word.
Yes.
The Word. The Word. And they got away. They were analyzing according to their feelings. But the Word is ours, active, alive, full of power. And then, of course, for us, in Luke 16:31, he said, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. And John 1:45, Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law.
Yes.
In the law. And so did the prophets. Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Hallelujah. John 5:46, for if you believed Moses, you would believe me because he wrote about me. Isn't that something? Jesus say, hey, all that stuff Moses said, it was about me. Glory to God. So these guys, it affects them. They're wonderful. They had a calling of God. They were supposed to be on a mission, and they let their emotions, their depression. It's never be guided by emotional negativity. Any of those, just wait on the Lord.
I'm just recalling back on the campus, on the UNCC campus, and you know, just moving through the crowd and coming, I'm seeing the face again of those two young men in particular, of coming to that first young man. And basically I came to him because he was kind of there in my pathway. Looking back on the event, and I recognized it in the moment, but even more so now, looking back, that the Lord was there. We were walking on the road together. I was, you know, kind of paying attention to the people around me. And he brought me to where he was standing with this first young man. And we spoke together there, not just the two of us, but the three of us. The Lord was present. And I've found in both of those settings, I started hearing my own words. I wasn't trying to think of what to say. It literally was the presence of the Lord was there, and it was the overflow of the Holy Spirit, nothing out of my head. It literally was the Holy Spirit, and my heart joined with God, and that conversation just, you know, like this going on. And the thing that I'm confident in looking back on both of those particular moments, there were many, many others, but those two in particular, because both of them were friends, one with one of the young men that had been shot, killed, and the other one with a friend who at that time, you know, was very serious for him in the hospital. And just like this meeting the disciples on the road to Emmaus, the Lord moved into those conversations, and there was a difference from when we engaged to, you know, when we hugged and whatever, and wished one another, blessed one another, wished one another well. But there was a third person in both of those conversations. And he was, both of those young men's hearts were tremendously warmed and encouraged and engaged. Amen. But it was the Lord Amen. That they were engaging with.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. We bless those guys and all of them who are looking for understanding. And in this, by the way, I'll just point out, at the beginning of the story, he said their eyes were strained, God, purposely, so they would not recognize him. And why? Why? Was because Jesus wanted a chance to explain to them, listen, in all, here are the places in the Old Testament, in the five books and in other the prophets. Here are the prophets who prophesied all of this. And first, look for me in the scripture. It's in the Bible. You will find, it's in the Word of God. You will find the Lord. And he wanted to give a measure of, you know, for, because they were disciples and he was the Lord. He wanted to give them a lesson that just don't depend on emotions and on human reports. Look at the scripture and stand on scripture. You will never regret standing on the scripture. And the thing that blesses me, because I'm as you know, we try to make part of our worship always, we thank the Lord for the elements, for the body and the blood, and we try never to miss that, because this is important. It is the eyes, it says, as Jesus blesses, he took the bread. Basically, the most time the senior person or the one in authority gets the chance at the, I mean, ceremonially at any meal, the head of the situation will take the bread and bless it, say some kind of blessing. And as he does so, but it's in the breaking of the bread, at that moment, the eyes are open.
Yeah.
No, always. I mean, if people separate themselves sometime and I'm, you know, I feel they are missing so much. If they miss worship, they miss, and part of the miss is when we bless, never let communion become a ritual, because the Lord wants to reveal himself personally to you, corporately to us, and do something. He wanted to commission them, make them turn now so that they would not miss their anointed destiny. And so the eyes are open for all of us. With every opportunity we have, I mean, come on to church on Sundays and break bread together in the sense of communion. Is we drink the, we have the bread, which represents the body of the Lord, and we have the cup, which represents the blood of Jesus. And we need it. Always we need refreshing. You will need, I mean, it's in these elements that God will give you supernatural refreshing, strength, healing. There are people, I mean, that are healed from communion. I also, by the way, I believe the water baptism is another major form of deliverance. But this for me, this story just moves my heart because the one declaration is for the nations and every tribe. This is individually God wants each of us to know you are not alone. Wherever you are, seek my face. I am with you. By the way, the thing I want to, because we just came through the conference, that is purposely, I call it convocation, because God called the people of Israel to come convocate at certain times of the year, but at that time, here is Jesus right now, he's a stranger, and he says, come with us. You don't need to go walking at, it's getting late now. You can sleep. And they would, you know, they would just put an extra blanket out. And they would sleep on the floor. So basically they're inviting Jesus, come spend the night here instead of walking away. And they said, no. But they were giving shelter. And I just want to, have so many people that for us reach out to strangers. And the anointing will be with you. I want you to know that you guys are uniquely anointed to share the word with strangers. And I'm so glad. So many of you have been so kind to people who come. And this is an opportunity for us corporately to bless people from faraway places and show them hospitality and love on them. I was so grateful. Part of the reason there was, I mean, Shema. And yet, she is such a, how many of you know who I'm talking about? And she was from a background, her whole family. I mean, I'm bet for centuries, never known the Lord. They were in a region where the Islam was the religion. And yet, Jesus revealed himself to her. And she is such a darling. I mean, you fall in love with her and you say, this was a missing part of our family. And it really felt like family. Rebecca, I want to commend you for showing her hospitality and letting her stay with you. Amen? It was a blessing to you too, right? I'm glad, but it blessed me.
And I think this story is a fresh prophetic word to all of us in this season to take time to be present, to walk with, talk with, eat together with one another and your neighbors in your neighborhood, your fellow, the individuals that you work with in the context of where you're engaged professionally, that there is an unusual grace being poured out right now, and particularly over this whole city region, but in general, on the body of Christ. Jesus wants to reveal himself in the taking time to be present and talk with one another and with your neighbor, with strangers, and eat together, that in those moments he will open eyes and open hearts and reveal himself. So it's a real season of harvest, of evangelism.
I really feel for this year, the increase that the Lord go, or the overflow, like Josh said. For us, that it's the time for overflow. You see it already. If you want a sign, I mean, the economic revolution we're having. If you listen to those who are, you know, halfway balanced, that in their mind, that this is, I can't stop thinking and thanking the Lord about this, is that they say this kind of economic miracle has not happened since 1967 was the last time that we had such low unemployment, and that this is the ideal situation. I would rather see where employers are looking for people to work for them and say, listen, that guy offers you $25, I will offer you $36 per hour. And I mean, they're trying to get people for employment rather than the other way, where there are 10 people looking for this one job and they're desperate. Praise God for the abundance God is giving us. And yet, in that context, then, make sure that we are open for the Lord. We so
Amen.
Get so involved in that and the blessing that we don't focus on the source of our blessing and abundance, and let people be welcome strangers into the gospel, that they need to experience also. The highest prosperity is when we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because that's for eternity you will have Jesus' prosperity and blessing. So it is, and the thing is, Lord, as we broke bread, even today we did. But as they in the road to Emmaus, Jesus takes the bread.
Thank you, Lord.
And tears it open. It's like that pita bread.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he tears it open. Their eyes are open. And they see Jesus. May we today
Amen.
Have a fresh, next level opening of our eyes. The Lord, we go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from grace to grace. May the Lord
Amen,
today
Jesus.
Show us his grace and take us. I want to see more of Jesus. How many of you would say, I would like to want to see more? All right?
Amen.
We have seen him. We have seen him, but oh, I want more. If you are on the glory, I want. That's what Moses was. I want more. This is so awesome. Lord, you are so awesome. May the anointing come on each of you.
Amen.
And may each of you, may
Thank
the
you,
Lord,
we receive.
Individually, as families, and as church,
we receive.
We receive.
Yes.
Fresh discernment.
Thank you, Lord.
Fresh this opening of my eyes and your eyes.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, thank you. And thank you that we are being, where in any way we have turned away from the great destiny that God has for us, for you, the anointing that's waiting for you.
Thank if, you, Lord.
Just think, they were as they were heading away from Jerusalem, they were heading away from a visitation, an awesome golden glory of Holy Spirit coming and zapping
Divine.
The daylight of them.
Thank
I mean,
you,
the greatest visitation, a
Thank
sound
you, Lord.
Of a mighty rushing wind and all that. That was about to play. So, and no wonder, praise, thank you, Jesus. Don't you let me miss your visitation. Don't allow
yes.
me to walk away from it.
Yes.
I want to be right where you are pouring, about to pour your Holy Spirit more and more.
Yes.
That your treasures are coming forth. Lord, thank you,
Lord.
For opening our eyes. And we seek the best for each person. There is destiny and purpose for your church and for your disciples in the name of Jesus. How many say more, Lord?
More, Lord.
Open my eyes.
Open my eyes.
To see your glory.
To see your glory.
To see your beauty.
To see your beauty.
To see your awesomeness.
To see your awesomeness.
Amen. Let's Amen. Stand.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So we all had a chance to have communion. So we can walk on the basis of, as he blessed the bread, the eyes were open. Amen. Raise your hand. Say, Lord.
Lord.
Open my eyes.
Open my eyes.
Even more.
Even more.
Now pray this prayer. For my children.
For my children.
For my friends.
For my friends.
For strangers, Lord.
For strangers.
Commission me.
Commission
afresh.
Me.
Afresh.
Afresh.
I don't want to miss anything.
I don't want to miss anything.
I'm turning around.
I'm turning around.
Walking.
Walking.
Back to Jerusalem.
Back to Jerusalem.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-7330. 6264. God bless you.